It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here with the national champions.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to the Tuesday, June 23rd edition of Overtime. We like to call it Giannis Day. The Greek Freak on the move from Milwaukee down to South Beach. The Miami Heat, the winners of the sweepstakes for Giannis Antetokounmpo as of last night. How it shakes up the NBA, the reaction. And of course, we got a leak as to what the offer and interest was from Boston. And it leaves me to scratch my head a bit as into what the heck were the Bucks thinking? That being said, my initial reaction to the deal from a Milwaukee perspective was, well, you know what? They were going to move him anyway. They were not greeted with a robust market by any means, down to just two teams, Boston or Miami, Miami or Boston. Where does he go and what do they get? Well, they got quite a bit of a haul from Miami, a lot of reset button kind of players for the Milwaukee Bucks to tinker with, to invest in, to work around a couple of additional first-round picks, a good get in return for a player that they could not please, they could not keep around, they could not win with lately there in Milwaukee. He had to be moved. It was a sunk cost, and you got a deal done. That being said, the valuation that was reportedly out there from the Boston Celtics was pretty darn handsome as well. We break down that big trade, talk to you about a trade from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Julius Randle out of town. What did the T-Wolves get? Nothing. Absolutely nothing except for cap relief, sending a contract off their book, allowing them to make an additional deal. Ayo Dosunmu, not going to hit the open market. Minnesota gets him done with a five-year deal. Julius Randle set packing to a new home for the former Knick, now former T-Wolf. He is going to be a member of the Brooklyn Nets organization. Lot to break down. NBA trades galore and certainly a lot of other moves to dive into. Trey Young back in D.C. That all reserved for an 11:40 timestamp later on this morning in hour number one. Between now and then, headlines and highlights. Northern State Wolf football offseason breakdown with play-by-play broadcaster David Tewksbury. He'll join us here in about 15 minutes breaking down the offseason storylines you should know, where the Wolves are going following a 7-5 finish to last year, highlights on the schedule, and so much more. We do not talk a lot about Northern State here in Sioux Falls, but off-season chatter, check-in, very excited for that conversation with David Tewksbury, the voice of Northern State Wolves Athletics, coming up here in about 15 minutes. In hour number two, we'll hit you with your headlines and highlights, dive into the latest from the NFL, including some bold takes for the off-season, whether it's fiction or reality. We'll dive in. J.J. McCarthy, has he taken his last snap as the starting quarterback and one-time former captain of the Minnesota Vikings? That and more to debate in hour number two, dedicated NFL segment on the way. And we finish up the show on this Tuesday, June 23rd, with some College World Series wrap-up, World Cup preview, storylines there, and, of course, the good, the bad, and the ugly. How do you grade out the Milwaukee Bucks' return? They eventually bought Tyler Hero, but they also got Hero, Ware, Jaquez Jr., and so much more in the deal. Three first-round picks, a pick swap, and a second-round pick for the services of Giannis Antetokounmpo. A great, memorable run for Giannis in Milwaukee. He got the job done. He did what he was supposed to do there in Wisconsin, and that is get that much-maligned organization an NBA title. That was job number one. When are they going to win a title? Is he going to stick around long enough? He did. He got the job done. Now you want more. You felt like there was a lot more staying power with that squad. And just like the Nuggets, just like other teams in recent memory, maybe the Celtics, maybe addition to that, OKC might end up being a standalone title as currently constructed. That's what we saw in Milwaukee. They retooled. They tried it with veterans. They tried it with young players, etc., with Giannis. They were not finding solutions there. A couple different coaching changes along the way, smashing that reset button and opting for the more youthful deal, the draft picks, the question marks moving forward, but a lot more in return than what they would have got from Boston, which included a premier playmaking player by the name of Jaylen Brown in that deal and more from Boston. We'll break that down coming up later on in the program. Let's dive right into the scorecard. We start, as always, this time of year in the Major League Baseball world. Detroit picked up a win over the Yankees 5-3 yesterday. Kansas City beat Tampa 2-1. That was also the score of Milwaukee's extra innings victory in Cincinnati. The Brewers are 47-29. White Sox pick up a one-run win over visiting Cleveland 6-5. And the Minnesota Twins played pretty good baseball yesterday. Two solo home runs, the thorn in the side of one Zebby Matthews.
And he swings and tracks this one deep into the night, and that is a leadoff home run. Number 6 of the year, number 30 of his career, Shohei Ohtani, giving the fans a treat. And those in Dodger blue are on their feet, saluting a leadoff home run from Shohei Ohtani.
There you go. It was 1-1 later on in the ball game into the sixth inning. And in the end, it was a 2-1 final yesterday at Target Field.
3-2 pitch. Here's Scott. Swung on and hit towards third base. Flagged to his left by Muncy. Up with it to first. And he throws out Brooks Lee to end the game.
That was the final call. Chris Atterbury on the call. Treasure Island Baseball Network. Here's Zebby Matthews, who with the loss fell to 3-5, but he was proud of the bounce back effort from the leadoff homer off the bat of Shohei Ohtani.
I don't know if I call it entertaining, but I was able to bounce back. There's a reason he makes as much money as he does, and he's one of the greatest to do it. But able to bounce back well. And then the second, third AB, keep him off balance enough. I'd like to have that first one back.
That's young Twins pitcher Zebby Matthews. Minnesota with that loss falling to 38-42. Other notable finals, St. Louis over Arizona 3-2. Same score for a Colorado Rockies home win over visiting Boston. Colorado now 31-48. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Royals at Rays 5:40, Yankees at Tigers same time. Later on this evening, Cubs visit the Mets, Brewers at the Reds, White Sox host the Guardians, Diamondbacks at Cardinals, Red Sox at Rockies, and of course the Dodgers and Twins do it again from Target Field. That is a 6:40 start time. 6 o'clock pregame coverage here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network, and at 6:40, you can also find it on your TV tonight on TBS. WNBA basketball. Phoenix lost to Indiana last night. Caitlin Clark nearly a double-double effort, although she did pick up another technical foul. 24 points, 9 assists in the eventual final. 86-77 the win for the Fever. They are 10-7. Tonight in the WNBA, Liberty at the Aces. Marquee matchup, 9 o'clock on USA. Now over to the NBA. The draft is tonight and tomorrow, but we certainly got all sorts of drama late last night into this morning. Giannis Antetokounmpo is on the move. Here's Shams Charania. A long clip here on the trade, the formation, the choices, and the execution that has sent Giannis down to join the Miami Heat.
This was a 13-month trade saga for Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Just to put it plainly, Giannis felt like his time was up with the Bucks a calendar year ago. The Bucks at every turn did everything they could to try to keep him. They fought this right until the end with Giannis to try to win around him. They depleted their assets, their salary books as well. But Giannis informed the team numerous times that it was time for both sides to move on, that he would not sign a long-term contract extension. So now for the Bucks, several weeks ago, they opened up for business. They started negotiating with several teams, and they really started to focus in on the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics over the last few weeks. Co-owner Jimmy Haslam came out a period of time ago and made it very clear that by the draft, the Bucks wanted to know whether Giannis was going to commit long-term or they would move him. Giannis was not willing to commit long-term, so they are now moving him. And you think about the haul that the Bucks got after negotiating with Boston and Miami in the last few weeks. You get Tyler Hero, that's a homecoming for him. Khalil Ware, a young center. Jaime Jaquez, a good two-way wing. You get Kasperis Jakaciūnas, who's just 20 years old, an up-and-coming guard. And then they get a significant return of draft capital. 3 first-round picks, unprotected, including the 13th pick in the draft on Tuesday night. You get 1 pick swap far out in 2030, and then a 2033 second-round pick. So the Bucks now turn the page on the Giannis era after 13 years. Taylor Jenkins signed a 6-year contract to be the Bucks head coach. They are now going to take time to reassess this team. This is a step back for the organization, but one that they do with flexibility, with picks, with young players, controllable contracts, rookie scale deals as well. But listen, Pat Riley has landed his white whale. We know his history. Shaquille O'Neal, Alonzo Mourning, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Jimmy Butler, and now Giannis is walking into Miami to play in South Beach with Bam Adebayo. The job for the Heat isn't done, but that's a pretty strong duo to start with.
There you go. Shams Charania of ESPN. Miami getting a lot better. That bench is pretty darn thin after clearing out 4 players. They are getting Bobby Portis back in the deal as well with Giannis, but 4 players, a total of 3 future first-round picks, a pick swap, and a second rounder. We'll break that trade down later on, but certainly a lot of opinions out there. Evan Cohen, noted Heat fan. What is surprising about the Bucks picking Miami's offer over Boston's?
I would have done the Jaylen Brown deal. Then I would have tried to send him specifically to San Antonio. Then I would have called Philadelphia and said, all right, what do you want for Embiid? What? You're going to take Embiid? Yep, we're going to take Embiid. We're going to give you Kuzma and Turner to match the numbers. And you're going to now give us at least 1 first rounder for our troubles of taking on the worst contract in the league. And now I'm going to end up with about 6 or 7 first rounders, De'Aaron Fox and Joel Embiid, who actually could make me good enough to not be a joke this year when I don't have my pick. So I actually get more picks than I would have gotten with Miami, and I may have a better team than I would have had with the Miami guys. I don't get the Milwaukee approach at all to not take the Boston offer.
And certainly there's a lot of debate there. The Boston offer is unclear. It is out there partially. We don't know all the nuts and bolts, but it was Jaylen Brown and 2 unprotected first-round picks. We don't know the years. We don't know the extent of those picks. They could be 2033, 2035, 2031. We don't know, but they were unprotected first-round picks with Jaylen Brown. So it behooves you to think, okay, the Bucks kind of dropped the ball. They would be a better team next year with Jaylen Brown and 2 first-round picks in their pocket. Yeah, you could argue that. Absolutely, they would. But also, how hard do you want to smash that reset button? Do you care about being back in the playoffs when you don't have a shot at winning it with Jaylen Brown and Miles Turner as your 2 stars? I don't think so. I think it makes a lot of sense. New coach, new team, get the guys in you want, maintain your flexibility, strike when the iron's hot. The iron is not warm at all in Milwaukee, so I could argue it both ways. Both offers pretty darn decent for Giannis, a guy that they have tried and tried and tried to keep happy, to win ball games with, and it has not worked out. Giannis, to his credit, has been pretty darn respectful, mum is the word, over the last couple of years, while also not completely and totally standing by Milwaukee in that process. A lot about to change in the NBA and a lot of difficult conversations on the way in Boston, as for now, they're retaining Jaylen Brown.
The deal that the Celtics offered Milwaukee, Jaylen Brown and 2 unprotected first round picks, that was a deal that the Celtics believed was an aggressive pursuit. They went after Giannis at the deadline too. Obviously, no deal came to fruition. But the Celtics, my understanding is they were unwilling to put in young players like Hugo Gonzalez and Bear Shireman, or adding additional first round picks or pick swaps. The Bucks wanted some combination of maybe young player 2, maybe additional draft capital. The Celtics were not willing to do that. So you put your bid in, you get involved in this. You know, I've had a few people tell me last night, you got to get a deal done if you're the Celtics when you put a player like Jaylen Brown on the table and on the line in this circumstance. So at minimum, there will be some fallout from this. Jaylen Brown is extension eligible with the Celtics in July. So a lot of answers, if he's still on the roster, will also be identified then.
And I do think Jaylen Brown still very much on the trade block in Boston, that news being out there. And as we talked about yesterday, Boston not saying, no, Jaylen Brown's not for sale. No, he's not for sale any longer. That was a discussion around Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're turning the page. That's not out there yet. So I think there could be a lot of vultures circling around Jaylen Brown, and we'll see if a trade out of Boston is in the cards in the weeks and months ahead. As for the Miami Heat, where does this make them stack up in the East? Here's Richard Jefferson.
On the Miami side, I feel like they've given up so much. They did get a lot, but now just because you have a talented player, you have to structure the team. You have to now build an elite team around Giannis, and you've given away a ton of assets. Are they going to be elite next year? I think that they are a top 4 team, in my opinion, going into next year. If ever everyone's healthy if they could do it, but they still have a lot of room that they have to fill out on the Miami side.
And that's all for now from that particular trade. Let's talk about another one. The Minnesota Timberwolves trading away Julius Randle. Oh, Bert, what did they get? Tell me. Well, they didn't get anybody. They essentially dumped his salary, three-team trade yesterday, and Brian Windhorst is not too sure about what kind of message this sends the T-Wolves, their fans, and their star, Anthony Edwards.
It doesn't look great for the Wolves right now, I'm not going to lie. This is pretty much a straight salary dump. For Brooklyn, they send out Nick Claxton in the deal to Chicago. And so they take one, basically a starting quality big man, move him out, and they spend a little bit of money. I think net they're going to add maybe $4 or $5 million to their payroll. They're still going to be a salary cap space team. They actually move up slightly in the draft. Like, I think it was probably pretty good business for Brooklyn, considering that they basically acquired him for not that much. Now Nick Claxton, I assume, is headed for a significant role as a starting big man in Chicago, which is a different story. But The takeaway from this move is that the Minnesota Timberwolves stop spending.
There you go. Brian Windhorst, a little bit more from Windy on Anthony Edwards and how he might be feeling about this latest move of a star or a semi-star out of Minnesota.
This is a salary dump. The Timberwolves have paid $100 million in luxury tax over the last 3 years. It coincides with their three best years of their franchise history, two conference finals, and they made it to the second round this year. But in addition to this move, dumping Julius Randle, they signed Ayo Dosunmu last night to a five-year, $112 million contract. So essentially, they're taking the money that they're saving by dumping Randle and re-signing a player that they already have.
Right.
They are not adding to the team. Already, Anthony Edwards has watched Karl Towns, a player he totally fit with on the court, be traded to the Knicks and win a championship. Last summer, they let Nikhil Alexander Walker go. He goes and wins most improved player down in Atlanta. Now, Julius Randle was not good in the playoffs. I am not arguing that Julius Randle should be the running mate for Anthony Edwards, but they trade him in a salary dump. It's not a good trend for the Timberwolves, and you have to wonder how Ant looks at that.
To be fair, let's give it some time for Minnesota, because they did go ahead and check off two big boxes this offseason, get some sort of value for Julius Randle. The value is not sexy, but it does make a lot of sense in the NBA. It doesn't make any NFL sense, NHL sense, Major League Baseball sense, but in order to dump a salary, to open up another door, retain Ayo Dosunmu, who feels like a much more investable asset right now than you have in Julius Randle. I liked the move all right. Minnesota moves down marginally in the NBA draft with their first pick, trading down a few slots. We'll see how it all works out. And also, the most important thing is Anthony Edwards on board? But in addition to that, how does Minnesota approach the remainder of the offseason? We're still really darn early, and only time will tell. That's all from the NBA for now. The draft begins tonight. Wizards hold pick number one, followed by the Jazz, Grizzlies, Bulls, and Clippers. NHL draft coming up on Friday. Leafs, the Toronto Maple Leafs, hold the top pick. San Jose second, Vancouver three, Chicago four, and the New York Rangers rounding out the top five. Lastly on the scorecard, D1 baseball. Conclusion of the season last night. College World Series, winner take all, game three. It was all Oklahoma. Sooners on top. First time since 1994. Here's head coach Skip Johnson postgame.
We played a really good baseball team. Hats off to North Carolina. They're really good, well coached. I mean, their lineup was incredible. The pitchers they ran out there, incredible. And we took the momentum over early, made some great plays defensively and got some big hits. These guys were separating balls from strikes, staying in their routines, the thing we talk about, pitch to pitch, and getting some big hits for, Kyle and Jackson was incredible, and LJ coming out of the bullpen was picking up Nick. I thought Nick was a little bit tired when he started the game, but he was just trying to hit targets, and that's what we talk about, and I was really proud of him in that moment, and really thankful for the SAC committee, the NCAA. Of course, when you're at the College World Series, everything's a class act. I thought the umpires were incredible all week, it was incredible.
And that's Oklahoma head coach Skip Johnson, national title winner for the Sooners, 13-2, the final yesterday. Lastly, before we move off the scorecard, finals from the World Cup, Argentina all over Austria. Messi nets another pair of goals, 2-0 the final there. France beats Iraq 3-0. Mbappe had two netters. Norway over Senegal 3-2, and Algeria took down Jordan yesterday 2-1. So today we'll see Portugal face off with Uzbekistan. That gets going at noon on Fox. England and Ghana, 3 o'clock on Fox. Panama and Croatia, 6 o'clock on Fox. And Colombia facing off with the Democratic Republic of Congo, a 9 o'clock go time. And a reminder, next up for Team USA, they've got Turkey Thursday, 9 o'clock on Fox. Quickly here as we dive into the break, Augustana has a new head softball coach. We will meet the new head coach, Colleen Powers, later on in the days ahead on the program. But that news later on in the show to be shared with you at GoAuggie.com. When we come back, we're heading up the road and over a bit to Aberdeen, South Dakota, talking Northern State Wolves football with the play-by-play man with the Wolves, David Tewksbury, joining us immediately after this break on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. Don't go anywhere. Off-season primer for Northern State Wolf football on the way right after this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Just getting moving and grooving on this Tuesday, June 23rd edition of Overtime. Before too long, we will be into football season, much to the delight of yours truly. That is around the corner. Got to get through July first, but we're up the road checking in on Northern State football now. The offseason storylines, the returners that hopefully propel that squad to bigger and better things coming up this fall. Northern State 7-4 last season. David Tewksbury is the play-by-play voice of Northern State Wolves Athletics. He joins us now from Aberdeen. David, welcome into the show, my friend. How you doing this week?
Bert, it's a pleasure. I'm doing great. How about things with yourself?
Hey, we're doing great, man. We certainly are ready for football season. We're getting kept busy by World Cup, all sorts of other movers and shakers. It is a good summer in the sports world for sure. Give us a little bit behind the curtain, man. How's the offseason been treating you? Have you been able to take some time away? And any time away from the microphone, certainly appreciated, but you're kind of itching to get back, I'm sure, as well.
100%. I mean, we're only 65 days away from kickoff against Chatham State, but who's counting? And yeah, I'm looking forward to the season very much so. But to your point, yes, I have enjoyed a little bit of a respite, just spending some time with the family and kids. We were talking about that a touch off the air, that I've got some young ones at home, a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And certainly this is that time of the year where my wife is really, really happy that I'm around, you know, to deal and kind of wrangle these kids here a little bit to make sure they're getting everything that they need to get done and all that. But maybe at some point in time by the end of the summer, she's going to say, don't you have a practice you need to go to? Or isn't there a game you got to broadcast? Maybe at some point she's going to hit to that. But it's been nice spending time with my wife and kids, certainly. But I'm definitely getting that itch. There's no two ways about it.
Absolutely. We all are for football season. Season will begin for Northern State at home. Dakota Bank Stadium Thursday night. Chadron State in town. 6 o'clock start time from up in Aberdeen. Latest on the program, NSUWolves.com. Talking with David Tewksbury, the play-by-play broadcaster for Northern State Athletics. Let's talk about your Seahawks first. Before we dive into the Wolves, congratulations, man. As a Packer fan, I don't have anything bad to say about the Seattle Seahawks. You got the job done. Tremendous season, memorable one. Take me through your emotions with that team, and is everybody disrespecting your squad now that the Rams have assembled a super team? What do you think?
Yes. The answer is yes. Everybody is disrespecting the Seahawks, and it's wild to me because I actually looked back at the Lindy Sports Magazine. I buy that every year in the summertime just to kind of bone up on every team and read about what all the quote unquote experts think about their squads and whatnot. And last year, the Seahawks were predicted to finish in fourth place in the West behind the Cardinals. I still don't understand the love and fascination with the Arizona Cardinals. This is going to be the year. I'm telling you, this is the year the Cardinals turn it around. I've been hearing that for the last 6-7 years or so, but I understand the love with the Rams. They are basically right there outside of the media headquarters there in LA, you know, outside of SoFi Stadium, I believe is where NFL Network is actually located. So there is a lot of love there for LA. And I get it. Matthew Stafford's great. And Sean McVay is the poster child. He's so handsome. He's so good looking. And now guess what? You bring in Myles Garrett and how good has he been? And I get all that, but they haven't accomplished anything yet. I saw this from Ian Rappaport. I think it was last week. He was saying, oh, you know, the Seahawks, yeah, they won the Super Bowl last year and all that, but they're going to have to keep proving it week by week. I'm like, what have the Rams done to prove anything? They lost to Seattle twice last year. They lost to the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers, a couple of teams that Seattle shellacked late in the season. So it's there's all this love for LA, and they haven't accomplished anything since when they won the Super Bowl back in 2001. But majority of that team isn't on the team now. So it's weird. It's very strange to me. But yes, I'm holding my Seattle Seahawks champion glass right in my right hand right now. This is radio. You can't see it after all. But there it is. Super Bowl champions, February 8th, 2026. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yes,
and
sir.
You know what? I'm still on top of that mountain. It's a great feeling as a Seahawks fan. But yeah, it's weird seeing all this massive love for the Rams, who haven't done anything yet. The Seahawks actually won the whole thing last year. Some people forget about that.
And certainly they are being slept on. Rams a heavy favorite across the board right now. But I'm certain when they start playing football, things will change just a little bit there. Seattle, certainly a worthy champion just last year. Talking with David Tewksbury, the play-by-play voice of the Northern State Wolves. That team 7-4 last year. David, take us through the roster. A ton of South Dakota natives on the roster from top to bottom. But headline some of the returners and the stars and studs we should know.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this season. There's no two ways about it. And I really, really, really hope and pray this team can just stay healthy. I really think that this was a 9-2 football team, maybe even a 10-1 football team last year. If they could just stay healthy, I think the best middle linebacker in the NSIC, maybe the best middle linebacker in the country, he's certainly in that conversation. Probably the best middle linebacker in program history is Jake Adams. I mean, the numbers that he has put up in his career, they speak for themselves. And when he was out last year, the quarterback of that defense, things just really fell off the map late in the season. He's the best middle linebacker in the conference, in my opinion. And oh, by the way, they've got the best corner, in my opinion, in the conference in Keegan Mountain. He gets hurt the fourth game of the season against UMary. So that was a huge, huge loss. And probably the best pass rusher, or one of the best pass rushers in the conference, Gabe Gutierrez, he goes down with a hamstring injury there against Duluth. And somehow, some way, they found a way to win that game. But you're looking at three potential best players at their respective positions in the conference, all missing significant time last year. And if you look at the numbers, when those guys went down defensively, the numbers went down, and they just had to rely on outscoring players and or outscoring teams. And heck, they did that against Moorhead. They beat them 49-48 in overtime. And how good of a quarterback is Jack Strand? Mm-hmm. I'm so fired up that we get to see him play there for the Carolina or the Atlanta Falcons, mm-hmm. rather, in the preseason. Hopefully he can get a roster spot. That'd be really cool to see the NSIC represented in the NFL. But they beat that team, but they just couldn't hang anymore because of all the injuries and what have you. So defensively in particular, they've got to stay healthy, because if they can keep those three guys clean in particular, this defense, I think, can be 1 or 1A in the NSIC.
Certainly, it's a big season ahead for Northern State Wolf football. 7-4 last year. Play-by-play voice David Tewksbury is our guest here on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. Schedule highlights early on. It should be fun. Back-to-back night games on Thursday nights. Chadron State first, Winona second. Those games are coming up August 27th and September 3rd. Before we dive in to the schedule, the nuts and bolts, when you're prepping for a night game versus a day game, every broadcaster's got their magic potion, whether it be some coffee, espresso shots. Are you a Diet Mountain Dew guy? How do you get ready? How do you sustain that energy for night games, especially back-to-back night games to start the year, David?
Yeah, for me, it's coffee in the morning and not too much coffee, mm-hmm. because I can get a little excited on the broadcast. There's no doubt about it. So I don't want to overdo it with the coffee, but I'm just a strictly water guy for the most part. I'll have one big cup of coffee in the morning, and I just get fired up just by the atmosphere of Dakota Bank Stadium on Saturday night. In my opinion, it's second to none in the NSIC, and I love the atmosphere that they have. And I've been putting together some numbers about what this team looks like under head coach Mike Schmidt. And at night, they're 16-6 all time under head coach Mike Schmidt. And during the daytime, 15-18. So if Coach Schmidt can petition the NSIC to play every single game at night, I think that would be great. Now, my wife and family probably wouldn't like that so much. But yeah, the nighttime is the right time for Northern State for one reason or another. And it's just one cup of coffee, though, for me, and just ride that wave of momentum into the evening.
Hey, you got a lot more control than me. I'm a coffee guy from sunup to sundown pretty much. There are four night games on the schedule, including a big challenge coming your way in week number 4 at Mankato. Take us through the nuts and bolts of the schedule, including a big one on Halloween this fall for the Wolves.
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really fun schedule, certainly. It all begins there in 65 days against Shadron State, a playoff team from last year. A really, really good program there from the RMAC. I'm excited to see what they've got. Winona State is coming to town. Now, 2 years ago, Northern was 0-4. They were in the cellar. They just couldn't find that win column until they played Winona 2 years ago. That got their first win of the season. Then they finished that season very, very strong, finished 6-5 after an 0-4 start. And that game against Winona was kind of the catalyst to get them going there. So that's their second game of the season. And then they hit the road, like you mentioned, against Minnesota State. And that'll be the first time that I have actually got a chance to go to Blakeslee Stadium. Big shout out to them. They're the only grass field turf, if you will, in the NSIC. They're kind of the late holdout there. So I'll be curious to see what that stadium looks like. I've heard it's a great atmosphere over the years. So very much indeed looking forward to that. Although, I don't know if you saw this or not, but it was probably 2 months ago. They put something on their grass. It killed all the grass.
Ooh.
Same thing for the baseball stadium there, too. So maybe the conspiracy theorist in me says maybe the person that was working on the on the grass wanted that to be field turf or something like that, to not worry about it. But no, they're a great team. They got a great culture and all that. And that'll be a really, really tough matchup there on September the 19th. Gypsy Days, always a classic. The Wolves always do such an incredible job filling up Dakota Bank Stadium for that. Over 7,000 souls were on hand last year for Gypsy Days. They'll take on UMary for that this year. Bemidji's rolling into town. And then on the road for two really, really tough ones against Duluth and Moorhead in the back-to-back games. They do have a bye week in between those two, but those are two tough tests. And you hit the nail on the head here, Bert. Augustana on October 31st on Halloween night. It's going to be a blackout at 6 o'clock. And again, the numbers, these random numbers, these little factoids have tossed together here this spring, says this season, or I should say under head coach Mike Schmidt, when the Wolves wear black, black tops and black pants, I'm such a nerd on this sort of thing, they've never lost. Now, having said that, that's one team that head coach Mike Schmidt has not defeated yet in his coaching at Northern State as Augustana. So, hey, something's got to give. Undefeated in all blacks against a team he has never defeated. So that's going to be a really, really fun matchup. And I would hope and pray that the Aberdeen community shows up and shows out for that one, because Augie is just an incredible culture, an incredible team, incredible atmosphere that they always bring down there to their place at the KO. That's going to be a really, really fun matchup there on Halloween night.
Northern State Wolves football, that whole schedule available for your consumption, including the Halloween night game, Augie, up in Aberdeen on the 31st of October, NSUWolves.com. Wrapping up our conversation with Wolves play-by-play voice David Tewksbury here on a Tuesday. David, lastly, my friend, let our listeners know where they can find you, the broadcast, the nuts and bolts, pregame, postgame, where to find you, where to tune in, and also give us your pitch for making a trip up to Dakota Bank Stadium to see Augie take on the Wolves or any other game this year. What makes the Aberdeen so darn special to watch a game up in at Aberdeen?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just an incredible atmosphere. You know, you just get an opportunity for the entire town essentially to shut down for the day, and especially Gypsy Days. It's probably a tough ticket to get there, but it is an incredible atmosphere, incredible game day experience, I think, for the fans and players alike. And that place gets filled up. The crowd is loud. They're animated. They know when to get loud, which is a cool thing as well. You know, it's 3rd and 7. The crowd starts heating up, and it's just a great atmosphere they've got there. And there's just something about it. You know, I've been to other stadiums at night, and there's something special about a night game. Don't get me wrong, but there's definitely something special about Dakota Bank Stadium there on Saturday night. And Augustana is so good. They have been right there neck and neck with Mankato for a lot of years in this conference. And if head coach Mike Schmidt wants to make this a playoff team, I guarantee you that's one matchup that they've got circled on their calendar there, is against a really, really good team in Augustana. And to be honest, I think if Northern is healthy last year, they make that game a little bit more competitive against Augustana, because the Wolves had everybody and their brother hurt last year. It was right after the Moorhead game, and their offense just did not quite bring it. Their defense played okay. They held the Vikings, I think, to 27 points in that game. And for the way their defense played the week prior against Moorhead, if you would have told me they're going to hold Augie to 27 points, I'd say I like their chances to win. But credit Augustana's defense. They did a nice job slowing down Brock Bogosi and Daniel Britt. So that's going to be a really, really fun matchup. But I'm looking forward to this season from top to bottom. You can follow yours truly there on X or Twitter if you still want to call it that. Either your mileage may vary. at David Tewksbury for that, at Fox Sports 1420 AM there on X. And also come on by the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page and smash that like button there too. And I'll shoot out little videos throughout the season there on game day of myself in the booth, just kind of finding new ways to promote the broadcast. Oh, I think this is actually breaking news here. I don't know if I've ever really mentioned this anywhere else, but we're expanding the pregame show this year to a full hour, full hour of pregame for Northern State games, football games this fall on 1420 AM and 98.5 FM and on our website, hubcityradio.com. It's also on the Hub City Radio app, 605 Radio app. We're also on the iHeart app. You can find us all over the place there. So 1 hour before kickoff, we're rocking and rolling with the DFS Insurance pregame show. Looking forward to that. And, 1 hour before kickoff, we're rocking and rolling. And 65 days away from kickoff there at Dakota Bank Stadium, I'm chomping at the bit.
Hey, we can't wait either. There's your Northern State cup filler here in the middle of the summer. Before long, we'll be talking Northern State football, Augie, USF, and so much more. David Tewksbury, always great to have you, my friend. We'll do it again real soon. Maybe a pre-Halloween game chat. We'll wait and see, David. Appreciate the time today.
Bert, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Great to get caught up. All things Northern State football. Jake Adams, the name to know, man. That guy, an absolute stud on the Northern State Wolf defense. And that Halloween game is a amazing draw. Let me tell you, as a father with three young kids who are going to absolutely cry if I peel them away from trick-or-treating to go up to Aberdeen, I'm considering doing that because that game is going to be out of this world fun. Take it from somebody in college. There was a Halloween game I will never forget in the mountains of North Carolina where my App State Mountaineers beat the brakes off of top five Wofford 70-24. Halloween football in college elite. Get out. Make that part of your Halloween holiday. NSU Wolves. com. That's David Tewksbury on a Tuesday. When we come back, NBA trades galore. Minnesota makes a move. Was it the right one? That's up for debate and so much more around the corner on this Tuesday, June 23rd edition of Overtime right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls Sports Leader.
Right back with you. Very fun conversation moments ago centered up on the team from Aberdeen, Northern State Wolf football in the midst of a long off season, about 60 days away from putting boot to ball. They've got Chadron State coming to Aberdeen. Full details on that game, the whole schedule, storylines to know, NSUWolves.com, one of the great NSIC schools in our awesome state. That's a full preview conversation. David Tewksbury, play-by-play voice of Wolf football, can be available at the end of this hour via podcast at ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Let's talk hoops now. Free agent Trae Young intends to sign a four-year, $212 million deal to stay with the Washington Wizards. A player option reportedly in year four of the deal. According to sources yesterday at ESPN, Young, a four-time NBA All-Star, declined his $49 million player option yesterday for a long-term commitment ahead of free agency. Turned out to be a very shrewd move. The Wizards and Young's representative, CAA's co-head of basketball Aaron Mintz, agents Ray Young, Andrew Morrison, and co-head of basketball Austin Brown, landed on a deal that'll be less than the maximum for Young with Washington, but equal to the max he could have signed for elsewhere. Young now becomes a fixture, a long-term fixture there with the Wizards, and that hoping that the roster can be elevated. Other names there, Alex Sarr, Kyshawn George, Trey Johnson, Will Riley, and of course, Anthony Davis. For now, the Wizards are hoping it could be Young and Davis as the primaries, and then a lot of youthful exuberance and experience heading into the remainder of this offseason, because they do have the number one overall pick tonight, widely projected to be A.J. DeBonsa. We'll wait and see. Second overall pick, Darren Peterson. Third, heavily favored to be Duke's Cameron Boozer. Trae Young back with the Wizards, the big signing of note yesterday in the NBA. Now, other news to get to. Before we get into that Giannis deal, that's well noted. Let's talk about what the Minnesota Timberwolves did yesterday. The Brooklyn Nets are acquiring three-time All-Star forward Julius Randle from Minnesota as part of a three-team deal that'll also send center Nick Claxton to the Chicago Bulls. According to ESPN, Shams Charania, Randle and the Wolves' number 28 pick in tonight's draft will go to Brooklyn, which will send their 33 pick, number 33 overall, to Minnesota. So effectively, the T-Wolves are getting nothing. They're moving down in the draft. Nobody's coming back in the deal. What they're doing is shoving some money off their books. It is a salary dump maneuver here for Minnesota to move off of Julius Randle. Now, the national media, Brian Windhorst, as we played off the jump, will tell you, what are they doing? How is Ant going to be anything happy about this? This is a bad move. Why are they getting rid of a highly skilled player like Julius Randle? I don't know. Maybe because they have other priorities on the roster. This was a big-time maneuver to be made this offseason. Julius Randle, some would say move Rudy Gobert. The other big action item they needed on this offseason was to find a way to lock up Ayo Dosunmu. Don't let him get onto the open market. And that's what they did immediately following the Randle move. So if, to me, it feels like, okay, 1A, get rid of Randle, move that salary off our books, do whatever it takes to get that deal done. 1B is, let's keep Ayo Dosunmu in the fold. And that's what they're doing. Free agent guard intends to sign a five-year, $112 million contract to return to Minnesota. Player option in year five. The T-Wolves, who shipped three-time All-Star forward Julius Randle to Brooklyn earlier last night, made it a priority to sign Dosunmu long-term after a tremendous postseason. Dosunmu's agents worked with the T-Wolves executives last night to ultimately secure the long-term commitment. Dosunmu and guard Anthony Edwards gained chemistry after he arrived from the Bulls in a trade in February. In that deal, Minnesota sent four second-round picks and former lottery pick Rob Dillingham to acquire Dosunmu. And his first 3 months with the new team, Ayo averaged 16 points in 29 minutes during a 10-game playoff run. He emerged as a crucial rotation player for the team. This is a big get for Minnesota. And just because he was already on the roster, what are you doing? He was going to be a free agent. He was going to get paid handsomely by numerous suitors out on the open market. So you bring back Dosunmu, who by all accounts is a younger, better player than Julius Randle. Maybe not better head over shoulders just yet, but will be. And I like this move for Minnesota. You had to make a move similar to this. Minnesota did cut costs, did cut salary. It doesn't scream, we're ready to contend right now. Shipping off Randle for nothing except for moving money off your books. But that being said, you got to like the maneuver for Minnesota in terms of the here and now, retooling the roster, getting Anthony Edwards some help. And again, you can't really judge the trade until we see what goes down with the picks. These are such late picks in round number one. Is it really that big of a deal to move down? And also, what else does Minnesota get done this offseason? You know, the Randle move precipitated the Ayo move and the Ayo signing. Now, what does the Randle move and the Ayo signing precipitate next? Do you get flexibility to go and get a different player on the open market? Does it make you a little bit more attractive for other trades? What does your financial situation look like? Those are all questions that need to be answered for Minnesota. But needless to say, one of the teams very much in the news yesterday is the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Milwaukee Bucks are closing the book on the Giannis era in Cream City. The Bucks are trading franchise icon Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bobby Portis to Miami for a massive haul of players. Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, Jaime Jaquez Jr., and Kasperis Jakaschinas. Doing my best on all these names. In addition to the players, they get three first-rounders, including number 13 tonight, a pick swap later on, and a second-round pick. So all things considered, they get a trio of very recently highly drafted players in Ware, Jaquez, and Jakaschinas. And they also get Tyler Hero, who, love him or hate him, if he meets the trade value, that's a different story. He can play. Wisconsin native, warm and fuzzy, fit for Milwaukee. We'll see. But you get three first-rounders in addition to all of that. A pick swap and a second-round pick. This is a big haul for Milwaukee. Is it the most exciting trade they could have made? No. The most exciting trade for the fans would be, okay, we're saying so long to Giannis, but what's on the other page? Whoa! We got Jaylen Brown. We got two first-round picks unprotected from Boston. That would be the most exciting move to be made. And that was the reported offer. We do not know what years the unprotected first would have been in from Boston. And it's kind of worthless to speculate on because the ink is dry on the deal. But that being said, there are a couple different options here for Milwaukee. One is to, as we said yesterday before the trade details even became known, smash the reset button. Go with the young players, go with the veteran, or go with the haul of picks you're going to get. Three first rounders, a second rounder, and a pick swap. That is a appealing reset button for Milwaukee. On the other side, how can we stay competitive? How can we get back to the playoffs next season? That would have been the Jaylen Brown deal. And I'm not saying Milwaukee can't get into the postseason dance in the East. After all, it's not that competitive right now in the East, especially in spots 7 through 12. So we'll see about what Milwaukee can do. But make no mistake about it, this is the future, the 2031, 2033, 2035 Milwaukee Bucks move instead of the 2029, 2030, 2031 Milwaukee Bucks maneuver right now. Bucks sending Giannis to Miami and in return getting a smattering of players: Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Kasparis Yakushonis, and three first-round picks, including number 13 in tonight's NBA draft, which gives Milwaukee two first-rounders. You wonder, are they going to get a pair of studs? Are they going to hit on one of the picks? Are they going to package them together and move up? A lot of options on the table for Taylor Jenkins and those Milwaukee Bucks coming up in the near future. But that trade, a massive one, going down late last night. We told you moments ago, your pecking order for the top pick in the NBA draft tonight is A.J. DeBanza, Darren Peterson, Cameron Boozer, and then you get all sorts of other names: Caleb Wilson, Darius Acuff, Jr., Mikael Brown Jr., Keaton Wagler. A lot of names to know, but DeBanza, wide margin, projected to be the number one pick, minus 800. Peterson out of Kansas, plus 700. That means Peterson heavily favored to be pick two. Boozer, Cameron Boozer, heavily favored to be pick three. And then you get into the Wilson and Wagglers of the world as we move forward. And the order tonight, as it currently stands: Washington pick one, Utah pick second, Memphis, Chicago, and the LA Clippers rounding out the top five. And in case you're wondering how the Giannis move and the Randall move have shaken up the immediate future in the NBA, well, the answer is quite significantly. Spurs remain your favorite, edging out against the Thunder marginally. San Antonio plus 250, OKC plus 260, Boston taking a little bit of a dive down to plus 650, Knicks down a bit to plus 700 because the Heat rifling up the boards. Heat rises. And the Miami Heat are rising into the top five, plus 1,800 right now. Big margin between that top four and Miami, but make no mistake about it, Miami back into the title conversation with the Giannis move that went down late last night. The fifth best odds right now at plus 1,800. That's the latest and greatest from the NBA. Again, round number one of the draft is tonight. The Wizards, soon to be on the clock. A.J. DeBanza, very likely to be that pick. And I told a coworker this morning, wait a minute, Washington's got Trae Young, Anthony Davis, Alex Saar, others, and they're going to get DeBanza. Call me crazy. Could that team be into the postseason relatively in short order? You can dream big, DC. We'll wait and see. Dive into your headlines and highlights around the corner. Latest from the NFL, College World Series, World Cup, and the good, the bad, and the ugly, all slam-packed into a busy hour number two that begins right after this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.